Well, I'd invite you now to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Tonight we're going to be talking about the promise of a king who was sent to us 2,000 years ago. And I'll begin by reading our passage for us from Isaiah chapter 9. Beginning in verse 1, follow along as I read our text. Isaiah says, "But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." There's a very interesting statistic that is found in one periodical, and it is this. It's since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 8% of the time. This periodical has discovered that of the roughly 6,000 years of recorded history, only 286 years have seen peace. And yet there have been over 8,000 peace treaties that have been signed and then broken, of course. One historian and political scientist, Quincy Wright, who published a two-volume set called A Study of War, said that war is found in nearly every historical era and across every civilization. And his conclusion to solving the problem of war is through an organization that has power adequate enough to its responsibilities. Essentially saying, the only way for peace to exist in the world is through stronger international organizations that have the power to stop war and to establish peace. Well, as we're going to see tonight, peace on earth will not come through any man-made organization or any institution. Peace will only come through one king who was born to us 2,000 years ago, King Jesus. Now, for the past two Sundays, if you've been with us here at RBC, we've been looking at this prophetic passage here in Isaiah chapter 9. And so far, we have seen two of the three promises that are given because of the promise of the king who is to come. We saw in verses 1 and 2 that the king was promised to bring light. That's why you see Christmas lights all around on Christmas, because he came to bring light to a dark world. Then this past Sunday, we saw in verses 3 through 6 that the king was promised to bring joy. That's why we sing about joy every Christmas season. He came to bring joy, joy to the nation of Israel, and joy to all who place their faith in him. Well, tonight we're going to look at a third promise that comes through the king, and that is that the king will bring eternal peace. The king will bring eternal peace. Now, let me just set the scene for you here and help you understand what Isaiah is prophesying here in Isaiah chapter 9 and help you to understand how this pertains to Christmas, because it does. You see, Isaiah is writing this prophetic passage during a time in Israel's history when things are not looking good. Israel was in spiritual darkness, as they had turned their backs on God and they were worshiping false gods, Baals, demonic idols. And because of that, God was punishing Israel through the Assyrians who would come and who would take Israel into exile. However, there were some people in Isaiah's day who were living righteous lives and who were wondering if things were ever going to get better, because things were really bad. Well, God gives Isaiah this prophecy 700 years before Jesus, the Messiah, was born, to encourage them that there would be a day when things would get better. Not because the people of the nation would become better people, but because the king who would come was going to make everything better. And as I said, this king is Jesus Christ. How do we know it's Jesus? Well, notice what Isaiah says there in verse 6. This is a common Christmas passage we hear read every year at Christmas. Verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This past Sunday, we saw what all of those names show about the king, that this king is unique, not like any other king in Israel. This king is both God and man. And he was born to Israel 2,000 years ago, which is what we're celebrating tonight. And because of his birth, this special king, the Messiah, has brought light to Israel. He will bring joy to Israel. And when he comes back again, as we see in our text here tonight, he is going to bring eternal peace as well. And that's what I want us to reflect on this Christmas Eve. When we look around the world around us today, we don't find peace. We find a world that is in chaos, in war. But Isaiah tells us that when the Prince of Peace returns, he is going to bring eternal peace to this world when he establishes his kingdom. So what will his kingdom then be like? Well, I'm glad you asked. Notice, first of all, what Isaiah says there in verse 7. He says, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." The first thing that Isaiah tells us here about this kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus is going to establish, is that it will be a universal kingdom. It will be a universal kingdom. Think about the kingdoms throughout history. There's never been a worldwide kingdom. There have been large kingdoms. You have the Roman Empire, or the most recent, the British Empire. But no empire has been worldwide, and no great empire like Rome or the British Empire has lasted. They've all crumbled and fallen. But the kingdom that Jesus will establish, notice Isaiah says here, it is going to increase. Now, when Isaiah speaks of the increase here, he's speaking about the expansion of this kingdom. Here's what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, look, I just told you in verse 6 that a child is going to come and that he would be a king. That he's going to come and establish his kingdom. And when he does, his kingdom will expand and there will not be a single place on this planet that he does not rule and reign over. That's what Isaiah is telling us here. His kingdom is going to be universal. And everyone is going to know that he is the king. Everyone will. In fact, the NET Bible translates it this way. His dominion will be vast. Every inch of this planet is going to be ruled by King Jesus. This baby who was born to us 2,000 years ago. And eventually, everyone is going to acknowledge him as the king. Let me ask you tonight, is he your king? Have you bowed the knee and submitted your life to Jesus, who is the king? You see, the Bible says in Philippians 2:10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What is Paul telling us here in this verse? He's telling us that every single knee is going to bow and every single tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's king, he rules, he reigns. And listen, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess this. Whether they believe in him or not, every knee is going to bow. But for many, it will be too late for salvation. They will bow the knee and they will confess his lordship, and then they will spend eternity in hell because they rejected him during their life here on earth. But listen, you being here tonight means that you still have an opportunity to bow the knee and to confess Jesus as Lord and receive the eternal life that he came to offer. Either bow the knee now and receive eternal life, or bow the knee later and spend eternity in hell. I urge you to bow the knee now, tonight. Come to the King. Surrender your life to him. Turn from your sin and believe upon him. Don't just believe facts about him, that yes, we celebrate Christmas every year because we believe that this guy Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Don't just believe the facts, believe upon him for eternal life. And he will grant you the free gift of eternal life. And so we see that when King Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, he will have a universal reign over a universal kingdom. Next, we see that it will be a literal kingdom. It will be a literal kingdom. Notice the next part of verse 7, Isaiah says, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it. You see, when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, he's not going to just rule in some spiritual sense. His kingdom is not going to be out there in the clouds where we all just sit around and play harps for all of eternity. That's not what it's going to be like in his kingdom. But he is going to rule and reign on a literal throne in a literal kingdom on this earth. He's going to fulfill what was promised to David in 2 Samuel 7, which says this: "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." God tells David that someone is going to come from his line, and this man is going to rule and to reign on his throne forever. Who is the king that will fulfill this? Well, listen to what the angel told Mary before she was pregnant with Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, it says this: "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him," listen to this, "the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That was told to Mary about Jesus before he was even born. He will have the throne of his father David, meaning Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David and he's going to rule over the house of Jacob. Who's that? It's Israel. He's going to rule and to reign in Israel. For how long? Forever. Forever. You see, that baby that was born 2,000 years ago is that king. And he's going to come back and he's going to establish a literal kingdom on this earth where he will rule and reign forever. But here's the thing. The only ones who get into this kingdom are the ones who believe upon him. They're the only ones who will make it in this kingdom. You see, the only way for anyone to get into this kingdom that Jesus is going to rule and to reign over is by turning from their sin and trusting in him. And all who do that will spend eternity in this kingdom under the sovereign reign of King Jesus. And so this kingdom will be universal. It will be literal. Next, it will be a righteous kingdom that he will rule over. Notice what Isaiah says next in verse 7. He says, "With justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." Now, isn't that the big cry of our day? People are calling for justice. Why? Because we live in a world where sinful human beings are ruling. And there are times when their rulings aren't perfectly just. Now, I'm not saying that this is a social construct or it's the norm of society, but there are times when rulers use their powers to give unjust rulings over their people. That's just a fact, because sinners are ruling and reigning. In fact, that word justice there means legal decisions that are fair and impartial. That is what we want in every decision, right? We want a fair and impartial. But when you have sinners ruling, that doesn't always happen. Isaiah then tells us his kingdom will be established with righteousness as well. Righteousness means the standard of what is right or doing what is right. We long for that as well. We long for every decision to be fair and impartial, and we want righteousness to be the norm of society, right? That's what we long for. But that won't happen as long as sinful human beings are in charge. But when the king comes back to establish his kingdom, there will be perfect justice and perfect righteousness on this planet. No impartiality. No one will be judged based upon a judge's opinion or even based upon the law of man. No one will. Why? Why? because in this kingdom, the law of God will be established. That's the law that will rule and reign. And everything will be judged rightly according to the perfect standard, which is God's word, God's law. And the king will rule, and the king will reign. The perfect God-man will be ruling over this righteous kingdom. And so this kingdom will be universal, it will be literal, it will be righteous. Next, it will be an eternal kingdom. Isaiah says that this kingdom will be eternal. Notice he says there, from this time forth and forevermore. What is this time referring to? It's referring to the time when the king comes to establish his kingdom, when Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom here on this earth. When the king returns, he will establish his kingdom from then on, and he will rule forever. Now, there have been good kings who have ruled on this earth, right? We know that. There have been some good kings. There were good kings in Judah's day, in Israel. Kings who ruled over Judah and sought to honor God as they ruled and reigned over God's people. But what happened to those kings? They all what? Died. Every one of them died. And oftentimes after their death, after the death of a righteous king in Judah, the next king to take over the throne was a wicked king. And those kings then dishonored God, and they turned the people away from God, and the nation fell into turmoil and punishment from God. There was no peace in the land. Why? Because wicked kings were ruling. But Isaiah tells us here that there is a time when the king is going to return to establish an eternal kingdom in which justice and righteousness will reign, and where we won't have to wonder what is going to happen after the king dies. Why? Because the king will never die. His rule will be everlasting, and he will reign forever. And so this future kingdom will be universal, it will be literal, it will be righteous, it will be eternal. Next, it is a definite kingdom. It is a definite kingdom. Notice at the end of verse 7, it says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Isaiah now speaks of the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Notice that name there, the name Lord of hosts. It speaks of God as the commander of the armies of heaven. He's in charge of heaven and of earth. He's the commander. And as the commander of heaven, God has endless resources at his disposal. And because of his zeal, because of his passion, because of his jealousy for his own name, because of his love for his people, he is going to make sure that this is accomplished, that the king comes back to rule and to reign, that his son is going to come back and rule over this entire world. It's definite. It's final. There is a kingdom that is coming where that baby who was born 2,000 years ago is going to rule and reign and sit on the throne of David forever. And what is that kingdom going to be like? It will be universal. It will be literal. It will be a righteous kingdom. It will be eternal. It will be definite. And finally, the kingdom will be a peaceful kingdom. It will be a peaceful kingdom. Notice I skipped over this back at the beginning of verse 7, where Isaiah says there, "And of peace there will be no end." The Hebrew word for peace there is the word shalom. And it has the idea not only of all war ceasing, but it also has the idea of prosperity as well. In this kingdom, there will be safety and prosperity. Not because it's going to have large walls, not because it's going to have some large military presence there, but because of the king who is going to rule and reign over it. He is the one who will bring peace to this kingdom. Listen, we live in a world that has no peace, no safety, no prosperity, a world that is in utter turmoil. But there's a day that is coming when the king will arrive and he will establish a peaceful kingdom in which all who belong to him will live in perfect peace and safety. But here's the thing. Only those who belong to him will be there. Only those who belong to him. You ask, well, how do I know if I belong to him? Here's the answer. You believe upon him. Again, not that you just believe facts about him, that he came 2,000 years ago, but you have faith in him. You trust in him for eternal life. You see, because of your sin against a holy and righteous God, you deserve eternal punishment from God. All of us do. We all deserve that. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we've earned for our sin. We have earned death. And not just physical death, but spiritual death as well. Spiritual death in hell forever. We deserve that because of our sin. But 2,000 years ago, a baby was born who came to save sinners from their sin. And he went to a cross and he died for the sins of all those who would believe upon him. And then he rose 3 days later, proving that he is the Savior of the world. And he commands you to repent of your sin and to trust in him for eternal life. Don't trust in your own works. Your own good works are not enough to get you into heaven. The Bible says our good works are like filthy rags before God. They're not good enough to get us to heaven. So what do? You must completely trust in Jesus Christ alone, and he will give you the greatest gift you could ever receive, the free gift of eternal life. In his kingdom. In his kingdom that will be filled with perfect peace. That's what he came to offer. And if you're here tonight and you have never done that, I urge you now, turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of eternal life that he offers to you. Eternity in his kingdom forever. For Romans 6:23 continues on and it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, you can have the free gift of eternal life in his eternal, peaceful kingdom if you trust in the King who came to bring eternal peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the King who has come to give us eternal life in Him. We thank you that He is going to come back again and He will establish His kingdom on this earth where He will rule and reign forever. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have because of that baby that was born to us 2,000 years ago in a manger, humble and lowly. Father, I pray for anyone who is here tonight who has not trusted in Jesus as their King. I pray that you would grant them repentance and faith. That they would leave here tonight changed by you. That they would leave here tonight with the greatest gift of all, the free gift of eternal life that you offer to all who come to Jesus. For those of us who have eternal life in Him, may we live our lives to bring glory and honor and praise to our King. And may we thank you for the hope that we have of a future where we will be in His kingdom, where peace will rule and reign. We thank you and we praise you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.